Who's Uzbekistan? Where's Uzbekistan? Why Uzbekistan? How's Uzbekistan? Beck is in Uzbekistan. What's going good and what's going bad? As she's live from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the heart of Central Asia.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. It is episode 5 of season 4, Who's Uzbekistan? What am I excited about? What am I puzzled by? And how long do I plan to stay? Okay, so, you know, I spoke recently about what it's like to live in a boom town and with all this expansion. And I actually don't precisely remember what I spoke about on that, but you know, a couple examples of that have come to mind recently that I thought were, you know, notable and worth sharing. So, you know, in a small country of 38 million people with a dynamic entrepreneurial economy, even though the exchange rate here is not good and it's getting worse by the day, but whatever, they still have, you know, all this, you know, economic development here. Okay, so like I said, it's a country of 38 million people. I think Tashkent is around 3 million. Okay, so like things grow at a rate here that I have never experienced. And I don't really understand how it's possible. Okay, and I've got two examples of this. So, I don't know when it started, but it's not that old. They started an online marketplace. So, sort of their equivalent of Amazon. Okay. And I think, like Amazon, I think it's got several different factions. I think the marketplace is one of them. And then the function that I have used the most is they have a payment app. And I think that's got a bunch of different functions. Okay. It's not merely just paying things. Okay. It allows you to transfer money between cards. You can add an international Visa and send money that way, but it will not accept American cards. So, but for some of my British and other colleagues, they send money home that way. Okay, so it's got this payment app, it's an online marketplace, in addition to whatever other services they have that I'm not aware of. Okay, so as this online marketplace grew, you know, there's not really like postal service here. I don't know, I'm not sure if you can get something delivered to your house or not. I don't think you can. I think if you get something to a post office, I think you have to report to a post office to pick it up. It's not like daily mail service, but I'm not sure of the parameters. Okay, the point being, limitations with delivery. Okay, so if you've got limitations with delivery, so what they did was create this neighborhood model. So like, literally, I think I started noticing them here my third year. Last year, or maybe the end of my second year. It's like all of a sudden in every neighborhood, there was one of these little, I'm trying not to say the name, but there was like a little shop, you know, not really a kiosk because it is an actual little store, but where if you ordered on the online marketplace, you pop over there and that is where you retrieve your package. But the fact, you know, that they could just spring up so many of these, you know, what appeared to be overnight. All of a sudden, it's like, boom, 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 boom. You know, literally down, you know, I mean, definitely every neighborhood and, you know, very close proximity. I think the closest one to my house is it's by the park. That's maybe a 20-minute walk over there. And I would say that's probably one of the further locations. It's kind of like supermarkets, you know, that the city is designed that there's, you know, a supermarket within 15 minutes, you know, of every neighborhood. And China was designed like that also. That, yeah, there's the usual services are within walking distances of residential areas. Okay, so that was the immediate permeation of the online marketplaces, neighborhood retrieval sites. Okay, well now, there's been another one. Okay, so prepared foods is not really a thing in Uzbek culture. Well, a company has come along and they are not tapping into the prepared foods market. They are creating the prepared foods market here in Tashkent. And I think I had first seen it at the supermarket. In the refrigerator section, they had a small sampling of products by this company's name, which I'm also trying not to say. And I don't know, you could get like some prepared rice, some buckwheat, there was like a carrot salad, but pretty limited offerings, nothing particularly notable. Well, the next thing I know, you know, this company, well now, it's the permeation of, again, it's this small little storefront where you can buy, you know, a cadre of prepared foods. And so, in the past, I've been back about 2 months. In the past 2 months, I mean, I think I've noticed 1, 2, 3, maybe about 4 of these, you know, in central Tashkent. You know, there's not one in every neighborhood, but you can see that they're growing like wildfire. And, you know, it's obviously stuff that's prepared at some type of central, you know, central kitchen, packaging, whatever, facility, you know, and then piped out in trucks to the different location. I don't know how many they have throughout the city, but they're obviously adding more frequently as I'm seeing them. And it does seem to be kind of single service things. You know, it would be like a dish you could heat up, you know, that's got like some chicken with rice or something, or some of their more national dishes. None of that I eat. But then they do have some soups. I have tried the lentil soup. I had a couple different types of soup, probably had borscht, and then had like some side items like some rice and buckwheat, and maybe had a couple things that were a little bit dessert kind of leaning. And then they do have hummus. And they do have tabbouleh. And they had an eggplant salad. So I tried the eggplant salad. It was not good. But the hummus was fine. I would say the tabbouleh was average, but I'm not a huge tabbouleh fan. I would say the soup was good. The hummus and the soup were the highlights for me. But discussing it with the hotel where I live, the owner, they saw me bringing a bag and was talking about it. And she said, oh, you know, her friends had tried it and they all gave a good, you know, gave a good report about the quality. And the prices were fantastic. So for a little, I don't know if I'd call it one serving of hummus, maybe more like a serving and a half, but you know, it's a little small bowl of it, you know, was about, depending on how I calculate the exchange rate, maybe like about $1.25, $1.50, something like that. Comparable prices, maybe been closer to $2 for the soup or something. The entree prices also look reasonable. So very, very reasonable prices. It seemed like it was prepared fresh, you know, and in convenient locations. And I just like, yeah, I mean, I just don't think in the West someone could create a franchise that fast. Or not, you know, I can't think of anything comparable. Like even the permeation of Walgreens in America, you know, that played out over time. Or the proliferation of Panera, you know, that played out over, you know, over several years, not over several months. So anyway, so yeah, cheers for a country where they can have rapid expansion rapid expansion. And these businesses seem to be doing well. I think seeing what the prepared foods, I think that's really the question mark, since just as a culture, Uzbeks don't really eat out a whole lot, or when they do, it's with a group. You know, really not Uzbeks really don't eat out alone. Or, I mean, like, even a couple to be like, hey, I think we'll go out to eat tonight. That, I mean, it's possible. Sure, it happens some. But it's not the norm. You know, the norm is that the mom or the grandmother, you know, has cooked dinner every night for the multi-generational family. Hence why cafes and establishments are so crowded so late. Because then they've eaten, you know, so the workday here is from 9 until 6. So, you know, they've gotten home at like 7, you know, have eaten, and then, you know, by like 9 are headed out. Well, I shouldn't say they. The men are headed out to the cafe. Of course, are there women who go out also? Sure. But by and large, when I'm walking down the street late at night and I'm looking in the cafes, I am seeing a preponderance of men. Yeah, and with the eating out, that may be like a young couple on a date would be more if I saw, you know, a couple eating, what the scenario would be. Are there exceptions? Yes, of course. But I'm just saying these are the dominant patterns I have noticed, okay? So cheers for the rapid expansion of franchises here. What am I puzzled by? Healthcare. How to acquire it here. How to have it effective. I don't know. So, it became clear a couple weeks ago that I needed a cortisone injection for my knee. And my line of demarcation between, am I going to the international clinic, which is in an inconvenient location and is expensive? Am I going to the international clinic, or am I going to try to go to a private clinic or whatever? Well, since I've had cortisone injection in my knee 2 other times, I know what was wrong. I didn't need any kind of diagnosis. It just really didn't meet the criteria for the international clinic. Plus, they wanted me to see their GP beforehand. It's like, well, I'm not paying to see the GP, you know, and you've got an orthopedist there who's there, you know, half a day, you know, a week. And they wouldn't give me the name of the orthopedist because obviously that person, you know, practices at other clinics, which would be much, much cheaper. So it's like, you know, that just really, if I have to go to the international clinic, I will, but I think I should try some other options. And, you know, just tried to ask on some groups, tried to ask around, didn't get a good response. You know, eventually, you know, a couple names trickled in, got my Russian friend to try to call them. We just kind of got ran in circles. Apparently, there's a Turkish orthopedist who comes once a month. Of course, I missed him by like a day. Then there's an Azerbaijan orthopedist who apparently comes a couple days a month. Tried to track him down, got railroaded by a receptionist, couldn't get to him. Then learned through his contact, you know, who's also a doctor. Well, he said, well, he had 7 surgeries scheduled for the next day and then was flying out. So, but mainly got blockaded by a receptionist in that one. So, you know, so just kept getting run in circles. Really, I felt like that this was a problem that an affluent Uzbek person could probably solve. Is it's like, what is a private clinic that an Uzbek person would see for this type of thing? You know, got like a friend of a friend's name. And again, they're like, well, no, well, call me the next day. We'll do this. And then well, no, they're out of town at a clinic out of town. But you can see the, you know, but then we call and then we just get, so we just got run, I just got run in circles, run in circles, run in circles, you know. And, you know, I had known that most healthcare here was just on demand, like you don't schedule an appointment, but like I thought there was at least the chance of like some bit of scheduling, like, well, yeah, just tell her to come by, you know, Monday at 11. Even that, they don't quite make appointments. Like, at least they'd kind of, like, know when to be expecting me. That's kind of what the ophthalmologist does here. Like, she'll tell Westerners a time, but not because she thinks she's actually going to be available at that time. She'll just say a time because she knows we're expecting her to say a time. And really what that time is, has she gotten the morning rush cleared out? Okay. So I wasn't expecting, like, the time to be accurate. But anyway, after spinning around, getting nowhere, the largest orthopedic clinic, probably in the country, but the big fish for the ortho clinic, which actually here they call a traumatologist, which I think that's hilarious, is actually just over in the next neighborhood, over by the park near my house. So, you know, I could walk over there. My Russian friend went over there with me. And we just went and got in the queue. So this is the public government orthopedic clinic. And so we toughed it out in the queue. Luckily, we went early. And it's a non-linear process. So it's like check in, okay? Then it was like wait for the doctor. Then the doctor kind of makes an then pay, okay? Then wait for the doctor. Then he kind of makes an estimate. I don't know exactly for what, but then we're sent back to the cashier to pay for whatever services rendered that day. Then I get a little confused on the order because it was so nonlinear. We were sent to the pharmacy to try to buy the precise cortisone product. So we tried two pharmacies. We found one that had cortisone manufactured in Turkey. We found one that was manufactured in Slovenia. We ended up getting the Slovenian vial of cortisone. Then we went back, okay? Then you wait in the queue again. And all this time, I did have the same doctor the whole time. He had no bedside manner. He didn't speak a word of English. He acted pretty grumpy. My friend had some concerns about doing business in this manner. But, I mean, I just kind of didn't care. It's just like, I don't need him to diagnose anything. I don't care if he doesn't have a good personality. Because I don't need him to figure anything out. The only thing I need to know is, does he know how to jam a vial of cortisone into my right knee? That's really the only thing that's relevant. So I was, you know, I was relatively okay about it. So after all this hoopla, we finally got, you know, escorted into like a procedure room, different from where I had talked with the doctor, who, by the way, never examined my knee. Now, my friend, you know, kind of relayed what the problem was, but, I mean, you would have thought he would at least try to, like, feel on it a little bit. But anyway, so, yes, did finally jam the thing in my knee. I think it was maybe a different needle than I had in the past. I mean, I'm sitting there closing my eyes, and I was kind of breathing heavy and apparently had alarmed them. And then they were like, are you okay? Or I don't know. I don't know what they said. But it prompted me to open my eyes. And then I look down and I see him pulling the needle out of my knee, which I would have rather not seen. But and then, you know, I just thought that this was miraculous because my knee just felt so much better instantly. Well, I was deceived by the anesthesia. But boy, it felt great for like an hour. Then I became massively despondent, and I'm like, oh my God, how could I have thought for a second that this was gonna be effective? You know, why didn't I just pay for the international clinic? And I just felt so stupid, you know, for having just tried. But then, you know, talked with some friends who'd had some cortisone shots, did a little bit of reading, and it said, you know, that they could take up to a week to work. So that's been about 5 days ago, and I do think my knee is better. So I do, you know, I do think it was, even if it wasn't like a clear home run of a win, I do think my knee is improved. And, you know, what I kept thinking was, I mean, that I was just trying to go with the worst thing that could happen is he gets the wrong spot. And then it's just not effective. I didn't think any real harm could be done other than picking up hepatitis, of which I asked the nurse about and she thought was pretty funny. I'm just like, well, whatever you do, don't give me hepatitis. So anyway, but the point being that, like, in this tale, you can see the advantages and the disadvantages. Like, the fact that the system is built around go to the doctor when you need it. You just show up and go when you need a doctor. Listen, that's got advantages. And I'm keen, and I actually think that's a good system. There isn't any of this, you know, having, you know, a 6 month, oh yeah, we've got an appointment 6 months, or somebody I knew for some kind of specialist, I mean, had to wait like a year or something. So I think that's way more efficient. But definitely the process to see the doctor is very reflective of the culture. You know, that it goes in circles, it's nonlinear. I think we were at the cashier's desk maybe like 3 times. You know, you pay before you've received any kind of treatment. You know, it's chaotic. And the fact that, like, I couldn't get any clear info on, like, when to come. So, yeah, and, like, I mean, I was kind of in a situation. But, like, you know, if there was just something, like, routine, I don't know. So, I mean, I see both the efficient and inefficient, you know, parts of it. I never filled out one piece of paper. I think I signed my name. I guess I signed my name on a receipt or something. If the doctor was making any notes, I certainly didn't see what they were. They did have a computer in the exam room. Maybe some notes. I would assume some notes are written there, but I was not asked to provide any information. You know, which just proves, you know, how superfluous some of that is. So, some of you might be curious, what was the grand price on this? If we add up the consultation fee for the doctor, the fee to administer the injection, the cost at the pharmacy to buy the cortisone, I think came in just over the $20 mark. I think it was about $8 to see the doctor. I think it was about $8, for the shot. I think the vial of cortisone was about $3. Yeah, in the 20 or just over. I may be forgetting some other fees. So, yeah. So, there you go. For $20, no appointment, walk in. All told, the process took 2.5 hours. Now, it was 2.5 hours of in and out and in different queues and hoopla and whatever. But yeah, but in 2.5 hours, I got the dang shot. It was for $20. That's it. You know? So, yeah, it's very plain to see the inflated cost of the healthcare system, and the wait times for the appointments in the West are nothing but inhumane. And the costs are nothing but inhumane. So, now, like I said, didn't have real high confidence in the doctor, but here we are 5 days out, and I think it was successful. I don't feel 100% confident, but it certainly didn't do anything adverse, and hopefully they didn't give me hepatitis. Kind of long stories today, but yes, I've been very excited. It's exciting to live in a boom town to see how businesses can grow this fast and scale up this fast. And it is, the medical care here is mysterious, otherwise known as puzzling and questionable. But, you know, like I said, shared a lot of advantages about that. How long do I plan to stay? I've enjoyed many good things recently. Got new classes for second term. They seem pretty nice. more on that later. So yeah, rolling in a good direction. Okay, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, this is what it's like to live in Tashkent, Uzbekistan. If you're walking your dog in Central North Carolina, if you are in Washington State, or if you are anywhere else tuning in to want to hear about life in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the heart of Central Asia, thank you for listening, and more next time.